It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With hundreds of commercial vessel shipwrecks in Wisconsin waters, we meet a maritime archaeologist who has visited nearly all of them. The wreck of the Trinidad near Algoma was recently named to the State Register of Historic Places. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Tamara Thompson is part of the Maritime Preservation Program at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Tamara, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this month we see two shipwrecks in Wisconsin waters being added to the state's Register of Historic Places. How were you involved in adding the Trinidad and the Mojave shipwrecks to the State Historic Register?
Well, part of my job is to evaluate the resources for the state. And in doing so, we try to investigate newly discovered shipwrecks. We dive down on them or take robotics down and look at the shipwrecks and determine their eligibility for listing to the National Register. The State Register of Historic Places is just the first step in getting the resources listed to the National Register, which provides them a federal layer of protection under the law.
What stands out about these two shipwrecks?
Oh my goodness, both of these shipwrecks are in about 300 feet of water. Both of them are fully intact, so they haven't lost any bit of integrity. They look like they could be raised and sailed away, maybe with a little bit of help tomorrow. But everything is there. Everything that was on the ship that was taken down, taken with it aboard by the sailors, is now down on the site today. So it's really a time capsule.
How could they be so intact? What has caused that?
Well, in both cases, they sank very slowly. The Trinidad was taking on water, and they had the men working the pumps when the ship slipped below the waves underneath them. With the Mojave, it was sailing through a storm, and another ship was sailing ahead of it and reported seeing the ship following them, but was lost in a trough. So the event of sinking wasn't a collision. The cargo that they were carrying wasn't intensely heavy. So when the ships did hit the bottom, they didn't break up and they remained largely intact.
Tamara, how geographically close are the two shipwrecks? Can you kind of map it out for us?
Sure. So the Trinidad is about 10 miles off, directly out of Algoma, in northern Kewaunee County. So almost to the Door County border and directly offshore. So in again, about 300 feet of water. And the Mojave is about 13 miles offshore out of the Sheboygan area.
Okay. Are both shipwrecks from a similar time period?
Yes. Well, roughly. The Trinidad was built in 1867 and lost in 1881, and the Mojave was only afloat for a year. It was built in 1863 and lost in 1864.
We are talking about shipwreck preservation with Tamara Thompson, maritime archaeologist with the State Historic Preservation Office of the Wisconsin Historical Society. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Tamara, 88 shipwrecks in Wisconsin waters are on the State Historical Register. What qualifies a shipwreck to be placed on the State Historical Register?
There's a number of features that can allow a shipwreck to be placed on the register. It can be the work of a master shipbuilder that designed the ship. So almost the architecture that goes into making a particular ship. It could be that it's associated with an important person, or it could be that it's associated with an event in history. It also has a lot to do with the integrity of the ship. So how much is still there? It can be broken. I mean, these two that we're speaking of are intact, but they could be broken, but representative of of all the pieces of the ship that are on the bottom. So there's a number of things that we look at, and no shipwreck is the same. They may have similarities, but they all have a unique item to add to our understanding of this time in our history.
Does the National Register have similar qualifications as the state?
It does. So when we list these, the process is that we go out and we determine whether we believe that they are eligible. We write up a nomination. It is the National Register of Historic Places nomination form that goes before a state committee. The state committee is comprised of 15 members, which are governor appointed, and they have areas of expertise where they're able to review our nomination, and it's listed to the state register first, signed in by the state historic preservation officer. From there, any amendments are made to the nomination as suggested by the committee, and then it's passed on to the National Park Service, who has their own review process for listing on the National Register.
Okay, so multiple steps there, that process. Let's bring in Richard in Two Rivers. Richard, what would you like to ask?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the air. I'm 65, and I guess it was back in 83. I was bartending up in Sauk Center, and a trucker came by that happened to be a diver as well, and he dived some of the wreckage sites. And he told me that he had, I believe it was Lake Superior, it was a long time ago, I'm trying to remember it. He said, I believe it was Lake Superior where he went down to a wreckage, and there were bodies inside the cabin of the men that perished during the wreckage. He said that he went back 3 years later, and he noticed that the wedding band was off of the man's finger. So my question is there pillaging that goes on established sites from divers?
Richard, thank you for that question. Tamara?
Well, that's always a risk, and we're hoping to lead with education. The mentality of the divers has really changed over the years. It used to be that it was finders keepers. If you found a shipwreck, it was felt that it was yours to loot. However, the states all have had different laws in effect which protect these resources. And in Wisconsin, our laws that protect shipwrecks started as early as 1965. So it has been illegal under state law to remove anything from the shipwrecks. In 1987, the federal government came in and passed the Abandoned Shipwreck Act, which gave title to the resources on the bottomlands to the states, given a number of provisions. One, that it was embedded in state bottomland. One, that it had been embedded in coralline structure, and we don't have coral here in the Great Lakes. One, that it's determined eligible, and another, that it's listed on the National Register of Historic Places. So we try to, again, affect laws which protect the resources. And in this case, all the states have burial laws also. So these are places that men worked and lived and sometimes died. And this is their final resting place. So those laws are also in effect.
Tamara Thompson is a maritime archaeologist at the Wisconsin Historical Society as we explore recent efforts to preserve Wisconsin shipwrecks. Call in with a question, share your perspectives at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about recent efforts to preserve and protect shipwrecks found in Wisconsin waters and how underwater archaeologists unearthed this lost history You can be part of the discussion about shipwrecks. Call in with a question, share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tamara Thompson works on the Maritime Preservation Program in the State Historic Preservation Office. Let's bring in Donald in Merrill. Donald, hi. What would you like to ask?
Hi, Mickey. This is Don from Merrill, Wisconsin. And I have a two-part question. One is, what is the oldest shipwreck you have found in Wisconsin waters? And secondly, maybe it's the same answer, is what is the most interesting one that you found in your opinion? Thank you.
Thank you. Tamara.
So the oldest known shipwreck in Wisconsin waters is one called the Galley Nipper. It is located in about 210 feet of water off just north of Sheboygan area. So it was built in 1832 for a gentleman named Michael Dowsman. So maybe a lot of people around the state realize that there's a lot of Dowsmans that are around. It's there's Dowsman streets and there's the town of Dowsman and so on. This is the same family. So Michael Dowsman was the patriarch. He was the Western agent for the John Jacob Astor American Fur Company out of Mackinac. And he was bringing furs in from this region and then shipping them to Buffalo. When his family started flourishing, he had sons that went to Milwaukee, George and Talbot. George opened a warehouse and Talbot moved inward to where Waukesha County is now and established a farm at the town of Dowsman. So that shipwreck is associated with that family. It was used to, again, supply this developing city of Milwaukee. The Dowsmans also petitioned the government to have the Milwaukee Harbor dredged out and made navigable. So that's our oldest. I think it is a very interesting shipwreck. It is completely intact. All of the rigging, one mast remains standing, but most of the rigging has fallen off to one side. It just looks really old too when you're down there looking at it. It was completely empty when it sank because they had lengthened the vessel at one time in its service career. It tended to roll over when it was hit by unexpected storms, and that's what brought it to the bottom. And the most interesting shipwreck that I've seen is always the next one. So so we're going to be out looking at one called the George Newman, which was discovered by a father and daughter that were out fishing. It's in very shallow water just south of Green Island in Green Bay. So I'm always learning. I'm not going to stop on one and say that that's the best one. It's always going to be the next one that's out there. And the open being open to exploration of these resources.
Do you dive during a certain time of year, or can you go down like any time?
That's a tricky question. So yes, you can dive anytime. However, in the late fall, all of the municipalities pull out the resources for being able to launch boats. So the piers are not there. And sometimes Green Bay freezes over. So you can't get out of the harbors and go look at these shipwrecks all of the time. However, for me, we look at other things during the winter season. There's a number of inundated mine sites that are around the state. So in the southwestern part of the state, there are lead mines, lead zinc mines, and we're diving in those year round. So although I won't look at shipwrecks, I look at other submerged resources.
Oh, wow. So, you know, you went into great detail about the background of the Galley Nipper. Are those types of details found in a National Register application?
Yeah, we go and we will research the service history of the vessel from its build and builders all the way through the sinking in as much detail as we can find. And a lot of times those papers will be, 50 to 75 pages long. We also do a very detailed site description of what is on the bottom, taking measurements that we're able to collect from, in these cases, robotics, because they were in the 300-foot range, so it limited the amount of time divers could spend on the the bottom. But we work with a partner named Tom Crossman, Crossman Consulting, and he has robotics that have multi-beam sonar on them, so he can take images of these vessels, and we're able to take measurements, and those detailed measurements then populate the National Register nomination.
You are a professional diver and recognized on the Women Divers Hall of Fame. Lynn from Milwaukee called in and is wondering how you became a maritime archaeologist.
I became a maritime archaeologist completely by accident. I was in the right place at the right time. So I had been working in the geology and geophysics department at the University of Wisconsin, setting up experiments underwater in lead mines. And the woman that I was working for won the MacArthur Genius Grant and left. And so I came to volunteer at the State Historical Society at a time when the National Marine Sanctuary up in Alpena, Michigan, the Thunder Bay National Marine Sanctuary, was starting up, and our office was gutted. Everyone left and went to work for the National Marine Sanctuary, and they asked if I would stay around and write up some of the work that I had volunteered on until they found someone better to come along. And that was 20 years ago, so I'm still here. And but there's been a lot of hard learning on the job. This is not something that I went to school for. This is really a second or third career for me. So, I would not be one to offer career advice. Most people go to school for this. There are a number of master's and PhD programs around the country. So, again, completely by accident and right place at the right time. So, yeah. But I couldn't ask for anything more. It is so interesting.
We're talking with Tamara Thompson, accidental maritime archaeologist with the State Historic Preservation Office of the Wisconsin Historical Society, discussing shipwrecks. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Tamara, how would the public benefit from legally protected historical sites like shipwrecks?
So all of these resources tell a portion of our history. So everything from, the indigenous watercraft that we work with in the inland lakes, all of the canoes, all the way up through these modern commercial craft. So these are resources, these are time capsules that tell our history. And we try to, again, through education, leave them the way they are so that the next generation of divers, the next generation of explorers can find these things in the same state that they're in now or very similar. So we again, protect them because these are resources that belong to all of us as citizens of this state. It's just our job here at Wisconsin Historical Society to protect them. And one of the ways that we protect them is through affecting these laws.
And from what I understand, you can see some of these shipwrecks by kayak and not just diving. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. So we've been working with Wisconsin Coastal Management Program and Wisconsin DNR, and there's what's called the Wisconsin State Water Trails. So it's a Lake Michigan water trail and a Lake Superior water trail. It talks about put in and take out places and places to camp. And we've added a layer of shallow water shipwrecks and pier sites to that. So you can see historic lumber piers and all the dock pilings and learn a little bit of the history as you paddle over. Just do a search for Lake Michigan State Water Trail or Lake Superior State Water Trail, and all those resources are right at your fingertips.
Do people need any type of special permission or qualifications to visit the shipwreck sites?
No, all of the shipwrecks are available for people to visit by boat or kayak, stand-up paddleboard. We have people that do that too. Dive or snorkel. And we put all of the known resources up on wisconsinshipwrecks.org, which is a website that we run in partnership with the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. And You can look by regional area. You can look by name of shipwreck, and all of the known shipwrecks will populate on there, but also all the unknown shipwrecks will populate. Mm-hmm. So we know of about 280 shipwrecks in Wisconsin waters, but through our research, we found that there are over 700 that have been lost here. So there's always shipwrecks that are being exposed from the sand up on beaches. And so if you do find a shipwreck when you're paddling or walking the beach or out diving, please let us know, and then we can make that resource available for others to enjoy.
And very quickly, is that normally how you find shipwrecks or learn about them? Is it through that word of mouth?
Yes, and it's pretty crazy. Last year, we had 13 new shipwrecks reported to us. So in normal years, we'll see 2 or 3 shipwrecks. But last year, we had a lot of people looking that were successful in finding them. And then also, we had them reported. So this is just a treasure trove of information that we're still trying to work through.
Tamara, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Tamara Thompson is a maritime archaeologist with the State Historic Preservation Office of the Wisconsin Historical Society. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.